Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
When addiction takes control, getting help can change everything. Parkwood Behavioral Health System offers compassionate, evidence-based addiction treatment for adults right here in Mississippi. Take the first step today. Visit parkwoodbhs.com. Healing starts here. With limited exceptions, physicians are not employees or agents of this facility.
What's up? Welcome in, everybody, on this Tuesday edition of the podcast. My name is Michael Warfield. Appreciate you being here. And we've got a poll to talk about. Now, it's not the big one. It's not the important one. It's not the AP poll that everybody gets mad about until the season begins, or until the college football playoff season begins, I should say. But the coaches poll came out. And should we read too much into preseason polls? Probably not, but there is something I think to take away from what the coaches, maybe their SIDs, decided to do with their preseason poll. Ole Miss going to start the season as a top 10 team. We will talk about that on this edition of the show. I'm so glad that you are here. Don't forget, wherever you get your podcast, just search Rub War Report and subscribe. And if you like what you hear, leave a rating and a review. And right here on YouTube as well, like, comment, subscribe. All that good stuff. Would really appreciate that. And official, I think I told you guys on Sunday, but official, not fall camp tour. Tuesday, is it the 18th? I'm going to get the date wrong again. Tuesday the 18th, Hey Dad and I will be in Oxford at the library. So I think we didn't know the location. We do now, confirmed at the library, 3 to 6. We will be there. I have already been talking with Ole Miss to, you know, stack the lineup. With football coaches. I'm going to try to get a handful of other coaches as well and some power players from Ole Miss Athletics on site with us as part of our not fall camp tour. Now, I don't want to toot our own horn, but I'm going to. Hey Dad and I have been on this, pushing this agenda for a few years now because they call it fall camp. Some people in college football call it fall camp, and it is not fall. Did you guys go outside today? There's nothing fall about outside right now. It's not fall camp. It's training camp. And we've been on this for years. And so we've even done this not fall camp tour thing because it's not the fall and not fall camp. So don't call it that. That is what spawned the idea. And of course, Pearl River Resort attached themselves to it. And we had a lot of fun in Hattiesburg today. And we'll do great shows. But Ole Miss and Mississippi State sent out to their media, you know, hey, here are the practices you'll get to go to. Here are the press conference days, stuff like that. And Ole Miss's release to the media, thousands of words on it, like big, big document that they send out. Not a single time was the word fall used. Mississippi State, same thing. Now they use GroupMe instead of email, I guess. But in the group message telling them, you know, when all this is going to happen, not one fall. Not one time do they call it fall. We did it. It's not fall camp. It is training camp. But come see us. I would love to see you guys, especially those of you that live in Oxford. Really looking forward to visiting with you there. But we're going to talk about the coaches poll right after I tell you about Scruggs in Saltillo, Mississippi. They will take care of you. And when I say that they're good people, there's a lot of good people in this state. But when you go to Scruggs, you feel like you're talking to you. I mean, they are so relatable because they are you. They, when you talk to them, they talk about their hunting land. They talk about their yards. These are people that don't just work at a store, but they live the same experience that you do. And so they know exactly what you're looking for, and they offer it for you, and they will get it for you if they don't have it. Seriously, they will do things on demand. I don't think there's a chance that they won't at this point with how stacked that store is. But they've got you covered. Anything, home furnishings, appliances, home improvement, they've got you. Clothes, boots, and more, they've got you. Anything animal feed for your farm or anything for your lawn or taking care of your plants or your grass, they've got all that too. Hunting property stuff, they've got that too. And most importantly, they've got America's Tractor, your John Deere. 0% financing on zero-turn mowers. 0% on commercial mowers. 0% for the compact tractors, 0% for their 5 Series tractors. They've got you covered at Scruggs. And even 1.9% for a Gator. Go by and tell them that it was me that sent you there. They're in Saltillo, just outside of Tupelo. And again, tell them it was me that sent you there. Scruggs will take care of you. Okay, the coaches poll came out today. I don't know when the AP poll comes out. Maybe it's this week. I don't know. But I do know the coaches poll came out. And I'll quickly run through it, and then we'll stop at certain points and, of course, talk about Ole Miss's inclusion in the top 10. Ohio State 1, Oregon 2, Georgia 3, Texas 4, Notre Dame 5, Indiana 6. By the way, Indiana had the second most first place votes in this poll. The second most, and they finished 6th. Ohio State, of course, had the most first place votes. They're number 1. Can't talk. Been a long day. That's crazy to me. That tells me that the coaches or the SIDs that fill out this poll for them don't universally respect Indiana, which is fascinating because what else does Kirk Cignetti have to do to prove that you should respect the hell out of what he's done at Indiana? The second most first place votes, but finishes 6th. That means a lot of people that voted in this are low on Indiana. Miami at 7. I think that's low. I'm really high on Miami. Texas A&M at 8. Oklahoma 9. Ole Miss 10. So Ole Miss is the 5th team from the SEC to appear in the top 10 in this poll. That is crazy. Alabama 11, too high. Texas Tech 12, LSU 13. You can keep talking about how there's no pressure and expectations in year one all you want, but I'm sorry, there are. And if you lose that third game, all the people that are saying be patient will not feel patient anymore. USC 14, look out for USC in the Big Ten. I think they might be a sleeper. They're ranked 14th, but not a lot of people from the Big Ten are talking about USC. It's a lot of Ohio State, Oregon. What about Michigan? Maybe, you know, Whittingham's going to have them ready in year one. There's not a lot about USC. Don't forget them out there on the West Coast. They're going to be good. BYU at 15, they're my pick to win the Big 12. Michigan at 16, Penn State 17, Tennessee 18. Don't know who's yet going to play quarterback, but they still slip into the top 20. Washington at 19, SMU at 20. That's a sneaker sleeper pick to win the ACC if you like value, if you're a betting man. Utah 21, Iowa 22, Clemson 23, Houston 24, and Missouri 25. So Ole Miss on their schedule has Georgia, Texas, Oklahoma, 3 teams in the top 10. When I keep telling you that the schedule gets more difficult this year as opposed to last year, I mean, there is proof right there. And oh, by the way, they have to play the number 25 team and they have to play the number 13 team as well. So you have 5 teams in the top 25, 4 teams in the top 13 on your schedule this year. It is more difficult. But let's talk about Ole Miss's inclusion at number 10. Because even though the schedule is a lot more difficult, and it is, it's objectively significantly harder than what they had to navigate last year. As I tell you all the time, and I believe in this, there is no, copy and paste what I just said about LSU. There's no year one grace period. I'm sorry. There are some people, some texters into the radio show that disagree with me pretty strongly about that fact. I don't think there should be room for patience for Pete Golding in year one. This is a unique year one. He has taken over a team that he had to keep together. To his credit, he had to do the roster retention, and he did an exceptional job at it. That those guys with a lesser coach that didn't build relationships and wasn't Pete Golding would not have stayed. If Alex Golish would have been the hire instead of Pete Golding, those guys are gone. So it's to his credit. But he's got this roster, the number 2 portal class, veteran quarterback, all the things. There are no excuses. You win, and you win big with this roster. There is no year one grace period. It's you win or you failed. That's it. I mean, there's no in between. It's the job that he took, and that's what this season is. Now, if they don't make the playoff, is he getting fired? Of course not. But if they don't win big, and there wasn't some massive, knock on wood, wasn't some massive crazy influx of injuries, you win big or it's a failure with this roster. But more importantly, here again, you have seen a lot of respect given to the aforementioned Pete Golding and Ole Miss as a program with this selection in the top 10 in the coaches poll. It would have been very easy to leave Ole Miss out of the top 10, to leave him out of the top 15. It would have been easy to do, but it is clear that Pete Golding has a lot of respect within the coaching community and earned a lot of respect with how he handled the three playoff games and winning two of them and all the things that you guys know already about that. This is a clear example that more respect was given. And it's fascinating to me, to be honest with you. I think it's earned, but it's still interesting because you saw it at Media Day. So the SEC media that voted in the poll gave Ole Miss a very favorable order of finish ranking. Trinidad was first team all SEC, all of the things that came with that. And like I told you guys, a lot of the conversation around that week, a lot of the people there really understood what went down and what they were dealing with. And I was surprised at how well-informed a lot of the media types that were there when it came to Ole Miss and not only what they currently have and how, you know, there's this idea that, well, the entire coaching staff left. Well, that's not true, but I was surprised at how many people really understood that, I mean, not only did they not lose the entire offensive staff, but people forget about how important Joe Judge was to that operation. And of course, they retained their offensive line coach. A lot of people have been given respect to John David Baker and how he's a disciple of the system and he ran good offense on his own for 2 years at East Carolina. A lot of people understood that they have changed from 25 to 26 the investment into acquiring good enough defensive players. And so I was pleasantly surprised at how well-versed a lot of people there were on Ole Miss. And here you are again with that same respect given by the coaches. Certainly interesting. But this is such a great opportunity. This season, and we'll talk about this more as it gets closer, I'm sure, but this season for Ole Miss is such an opportunity for validation. Because there are a lot of people going into this season that do believe that while Lane Kiffin did a great job and he's a great coach, and there's a lot of people that think he's going to go do great things at LSU. Won 50 games in 5 years. You don't do that without being a really quality football coach. But there is a lot of respect being given to the fact that Ole Miss had to do a lot of things right, absent making a good hire at head coach, to win at that level. You don't win at the level that he did without administrative support, without financial support, without athletic director support, and the structure and the buy-in, and those things don't leave with a coach. That still exists, right? It should anyway. And so this is an opportunity this season for Ole Miss to show the rest of college football and the rest of the country that the program is bigger than a coach. Now, you've heard me talk before, and I believe this firmly. Every program is a good coach away. Not every. Most every program in the SEC is one good coach away from competing for playoff spots every year and one bad hire away from being in the tank. Hello, Arkansas. But there were, I thought, a lot of people that thought that Ole Miss's success over the last 5 years was strictly because of coach. And people don't believe that. And so now here's your opportunity because people are paying attention to you. People think that you're onto something. People think that you've elevated as a program. The coaches do and the media do. So now here's your opportunity served to you on a silver platter to show and to validate that feeling and to validate the respect that's been given to you this offseason to affirm that your program can sustain success beyond a successful coach. That you can be more than just one person, that you can build rosters that are competitive nationally even after somebody leaves your program. So that is what this selection tells me, is that people are paying attention to you. People believe in you. Now it's time to go prove them right. And here's an opportunity for Ole Miss to go prove them right in 2026. It's a belief that I've had for a while. I've thought that, you know, this program can elevate itself, that it's got all the the bones to become a quality year in, year out program. And you didn't have the right things. You didn't have the right university leadership. You clearly, for a time, didn't have the right athletic director. You didn't have the right kind of organization and fan support, and it never all fit at the same time. Top to bottom, it fits, and it's working, and it's working together. It's time to show everybody that the respect that you've been given is earned. Really good stuff and a really fascinating offseason. That is over on Thursday. Next time I'm talking to you, we're going to have Pete Golding cuts. It's going to be great, and I'm excited for that. I hope you guys are as well. Few of your comments for the next 15 minutes or so, but after I tell you about Logan Smith, Shelter Insurance, 601-823-3500, 601-823-3500, auto, home, life, or business insurance, auto, home, life, or insurance for your business, Logan Smith will take care of you at Shelter. Again, anywhere in Mississippi, tell him that it was me that sent you and he's got you covered. Logan Smith, Shelter Insurance. The official insurance provider of this very podcast. Also, Priority One Bank, they make you their priority every day. 16 locations, very likely to be one near you. Local loan servicing and decision-making, a great online banking platform and more. Bank with me at Priority One Bank. And finally, Advantage Business Systems, absms.com for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. Also, we are approaching football season. We're getting ever closer. Let me tell you about the sustainability of the audience of this podcast. We went through a summer where I am stunned at the audience. Usually, there's been a drop-off in the off-season, and then it picks back up during football season. There wasn't the drop-off that I was expecting anyway, numbers-wise. Last football season, the numbers were insane. If you want to get in before football season, send me an email or a DM on, Twitter screwed up the DMs. Never mind. Forget the DM part because Twitter has completely destroyed DMs. I get them all the time and I never see them and I miss like guest spots and other shows and stuff because Twitter blew up the DMs. If you want to be a part of this podcast, you can email me Borkey, Borkey, at supertalk.fm. Now is the time to get in because once the season begins, the rates are most certainly different. So now's the time you want to be a part of this show that you can. And I promise you it works. We have the testimony and the numbers to back that up. So just putting that out there. All right. What's this about LSU getting some private equity investment? Oh, no. It's not private equity. It's not private equity at all. It's just people investing in a percentage stake into the No, see, when you're flush with cash, when you have all the money in the world, you don't need some kind of special investment private equity. No, it's not private equity. Sorry. Don't call it private equity. It's definitely not private equity. Just when it gets explained, it sounds exactly like private equity. But it's not. You want to know how I know it's not? Because I said so. I truly, all joking and sarcasm aside, if Keith Carter, which I need to call him, I need to reach out to him tomorrow to ask him to come on at the fall camp tour. I will ask him about private equity next time I get the chance to interview him. And if his answer is anything other than no, I would be concerned. It's not an LSU thing. It's not an anti-LSU thing. Anything resembling private equity in your athletic department is a terrifying thing. I mean, you want to talk about things that have ruined college sports? That would be it. That really would. Everything private equity touches turns to crap. And imagine what college athletic departments will do when they owe it to investors that are seeking an ROI and not boosters that give money for the love of the game. How bad things already are from a fan experience perspective when it comes to cost and there's no open practices anywhere anymore. Spring games are dead. You're already getting less and less access to your team and it's more expensive to go see them for the 7 home games. Imagine when it's not for the love of the game and when we have to satisfy our investors. That's a really dangerous road to go down, and I would be terrified if there was some magic plan that's super awesome, that's totally not private equity. It would scare me. Utah's doing it. Okay, that doesn't make it good. It's not good. And you don't want Ole Miss going anywhere near private equity investment. It'll get so much worse for you if it does. How's it going? Good, man. Good to see you. Louisville not ranked in the coaches poll, but I bet they're in the AP. I bet they're going to slip into the AP as well, if I had to guess. In the coaches poll, I believe Louisville was the first team receiving votes. I think they were. So, of the top 10, which team do you think has the most chance of blowing up and having a bad season, like Clemson or Penn State last year? Good question. Honestly, Indiana. Indiana has a really good chance of that. I think that would be my vote first. Indiana, Texas A&M also, although they were a really quality football team last year. Let's see. What is Oklahoma's schedule? Oklahoma could be one. I mean, guys, before the calendar turns to October, they're at Michigan and at Georgia. Oklahoma can be 2-2 before the calendar turns to October. And so they could certainly slip out. And I mean, honestly, Ole Miss could as well. They would not be my first pick to do so. But I think I would lean Indiana, Oklahoma, maybe A&M. Indiana loses most of their team from last year, but Cignetti is 27-2 in 2 years. Yeah, and I still think they're going to be good, but it's fair to think that they have an opportunity to step back. I mean, their non-conference schedule is absolutely pathetic. It's embarrassing. It's North Texas, Howard, and Western Kentucky. And then they open with Northwestern and Rutgers before going to Lincoln. But they've got to play Ohio State. They've got to go to Ann Arbor. They've got to play USC. They've got to go to Washington. I mean, their schedule is not super overly difficult. But, man, I mean, again, they're in Lincoln. They're in Ann Arbor. They're in Seattle, and they're having to play USC and Ohio State. There's a chance that they take a step back. You know, a 9-3, 8-4 type season is on the table for them, which would be a fine year after a national championship. But Bama definitely feels like they're there just because of the logo. I could see them more in the 15-20 range. I would have them somewhere in the 20s, probably. Breaking in a new quarterback, I don't necessarily love what they did in the portal either. I really can't talk today. Guys, sorry about that. I think Texas Tech is likely to be another paper tiger again, where their defense coasts through the Big 12 and then they get rocked in the postseason again. All right. On paper, I'd take Ole Miss over both Oklahoma and A&M. I would right now as well. I would. I think both coaches would privately trade their rosters as well. National media, who votes on this overall, I would bet is lower on Ole Miss, and we'll have them behind Bama and mainly LSU. Would not be surprised if Ole Miss in the AP poll ends up behind LSU. That would not surprise me. Although, again, though, at media days, Ole Miss got a lot of the benefit of the doubt. So I think A&M is definitely too high. Personally believe Ole Miss is better than Oklahoma, too. I agree there. But can't blame them for putting Oklahoma ahead, but not A&M. Oklahoma's going to be really good up front on both sides of the ball. I think that with their new GM and Venables made a good hire with his OC last year, I think Oklahoma might be here to stay. They're a tough physical football team. They're going to be good up front, and that's a really nice recipe for sustainability. So I think Oklahoma's going to have that. But the funny thing is, the rankings will take care of itself in September. Louisville, LSU, and Florida is pretty darn tough. It really is. It really is. What assistant are you most looking forward to? I'm really interested in hearing from John David Baker. I know he's not going to give a lot away, but I would be really interested to hear about the future of the offense. My goal, so we don't quite yet know what Pete Golding is going to be like in terms of assistant availability. I have asked for the opportunity to interview John David Baker ahead of the Not Fall Camp Tour. Hopefully that can happen. We don't know what Pete's going to do yet in terms of assistance and interviews. As you guys know, Lane was pretty shut down on that as well. I imagine Pete's going to be pretty similar. So we'll see. I have asked, though, for that one-on-one. Hopefully I get it. If not, you know, no harm, no foul, no big deal. It's not like I'd be getting singled out by being told no, so it won't bother me one bit. But I have asked, so we'll see if that happens. So what are you going to be looking at the most or looking at most closely in fall camp? Training camp, man, not fall camp, training camp. Not that you can actually see much, unfortunately. Offensive tackle is the free space, so I will skip that. Wide receiver. I know you've heard good things about Jonte Cook. I know Deuce Alexander is still there, but if you want to push aside offensive tackle, it's wide receiver. They've got the tight end room. They've got the quarterback. They've got the running back. They've got the interior of the offensive line to be an elite offense. Do they have multiple wide receivers that can be a threat and stretch the field and be reliable? I know they've got one of those in Deuce Alexander. I think they've got one in Jonte Cook. Who else? Who's going to step up there? Will Ole Miss have any players come back for football with their extra year of eligibility? I don't think so. There's a lot of hoops that you have to jump through in order to make that happen. And here's the problem. I think we talked about this on Sunday, certainly on the radio show. Unless I'm missing something, which I've read about this, I don't think that I am. The judge's ruling did not change rev share cap to accommodate these players, didn't change portal rules to accommodate these players, and did not say the NCAA's rules are unenforceable to accommodate these players. So when you look at a guy like Arian Carter, the Tennessee linebacker that got suspended for two games for getting a flight played, I keep screwing that one up, getting a flight paid for as part of the pre-draft process that he ultimately stopped. He chose not to enter the draft, but he was going through the pre-draft process and got a flight paid for by an agent, which I know it sounds absurd because you have college players with NIL deals with private jet companies that fly them places, but he got suspended and Tennessee can't do anything about it. Like the NCAA can defend their professional rules. And so, I mean, people keep throwing out Xavier Harris. There's a chance he makes the Saints, but let's pretend they cut him. He would get cut a week before the first game, number one. And number two, how can you be sure that he's going to be eligible to play anyway? Because the NCAA just suspended a guy two games that he's going to miss. One of them is Georgia Tech for getting a flight paid for when this guy had an NFL team paying him. You know what I mean? So what player did not receive money to participate in NFL camp that left Ole Miss last season? Because you can't bring in a transfer unless they were in the portal, because the judge's ruling did not change the portal rules. So there's no, you can't go get a player in the portal. I don't believe, because that's what the ruling said anyway. And you're seeing very little reporting on it because I think everything's kind of on the football front quieted down. Indiana has a player coming back for his fifth year because he didn't take any NFL money. Remember, he got hurt late in the season, and so he did not go through the draft process. He's kind of hoping on this. And so he's going to come back to Indiana because he didn't accept pro money. But all these guys that left Ole Miss, I mean, they went through the process that they got paid to go to minicamp and signed undrafted free agent deals. How can you be sure that they're going to be eligible to play anyway? That the answer is you can't be sure. And so I wouldn't expect there to be major additions in football. Is Malik Dia locked to be back for basketball? See, that's another one. He played in summer league for the Pelicans. He became a professional basketball player. How the NCAA is not going to clear him to come back, I don't believe. I think he'll end up being on their G League team anyway. Maybe I'm wrong. I have not seen that. The Pelicans, despite my love for them, have not provided many reasons for that love. Can't wait for LSU to lose a big game by Lane going forward on a meaningless fourth down like he did 2 years ago at LSU. Man, try to lose that Oklahoma game last year. Got your tickets for the LSU game? Ouch. Will not be throwing anything. and hope no one else does. I think the closer it gets, the less you have to worry about that. I did come up with an idea. I think that all the drinks should be in cups that day. If it takes longer, it takes longer. But that would be a really good way to avoid stuff getting thrown on the field, is can't throw a cup, not very far. Indiana, you don't think is good, but my God, they have a soft schedule. Just what, two games to get up for? Really, it is very soft. If the Rebs get Deuce Knight out of high school, do they get Trinidad? It's scary to think about. That's an interesting question. I don't know. What's more likely? Are there four SEC teams in the playoff or two ACC teams? I think two from the ACC. You heard Logan Diggs wants to come back. I did see him tweet. The problem is, where does he fit? They've got a pretty stacked running back room. Is he going to play? I don't know. I do not know. I don't know if an NFL team picked him up. Maybe he can find a way back. I don't know. Who is the coach no one's talking about that might not be in the SEC next season that isn't Beamer or Lebby? I've got two for you, Sark and Heupel. I don't know. I don't think Heupel's getting fired, but it's going to get a little uneasy if they're not particularly good this year, and he could be looking for a soft landing spot somewhere else. And if Sark doesn't go to the playoffs, buddy, he's out. I'm telling you, if Texas, they can go 9-3, miss the playoffs, he's out. You mean to tell me you never won a championship of any kind? You didn't win anything of value with Arch Manning as your quarterback? You're at Texas, and no, man. They won't put up with that, not in a 12-team era. If you think Indiana's schedule is bad, look at Penn State, Notre Dame's. Oh, Notre Dame's is horrendous. What's Penn State's? I have not looked at this one. Oh, gosh. Oh, this is sad. Marshall, Temple, and Buffalo. Oh, that game's at Temple, though, where Penn State will fill up Lincoln Financial Field. Wisconsin at home at Northwestern, USC at home at Michigan, Purdue at home at Washington, Minnesota, Rutgers at Maryland. My gosh. So they avoid Ohio State, Oregon, and Indiana. Matt Campbell's about to have his best season ever. Agree with Heupel. It's weird there. It is weird there. Been saying Sark seat is hot if they don't make it far this year. It is. Yeah, and the Big Ten does not require a non-conference power team. That's why I kept ranting so much about the SEC and the schedule mishap that they made. They've made their schedules more difficult, and they're not going to get rewarded for it. Greg Sankey said as much behind the podium at SEC Media Days that they did not have satisfactory conversations with members of the committee. It's not a good sign. That is not a good sign. We'll see you on Thursday night. We'll have Pete Golding cuts on Thursday. There's going to be a lot of them. That'll be a long show. That will be a long show because there will be a lot. He's a really in-depth talker, so looking forward to that. Can't wait for that, to be honest with you. It's going to be so much fun talking about training camp and coach quotes and stuff. I'll see you Thursday. You guys have a good night. Talk to you then.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.